light worker. Now is the time to make a much bigger impact in the world. You are tuned to the Listen to Your Own Medicine podcast. This podcast will take you through a journey to return to your true purpose and awaken the authentic power of your soul. This podcast is for light workers who want to start using their own medicine from their heart and remember their true magic. It's time to live a fulfilling life full of joy and abundance. I'm your host, Vika Didvalene, founder of Satkara Temple, and I'm sharing my unique medicine to help you to find your authenticity and to bring it to this world. I believe that you came here to shine your light bright, and I'm inviting you to listen to your own medicine podcast to find the inspiration and teachings of how to bring your gifts and your light to this world. It's time to listen to your own medicine. I believe that you carry your unique medicine in your heart and you came here to share it. So let's get to it. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Listen to Your Own Medicine podcast. And today we have an honor to have this beautiful, beautiful guest, my sister Nana Lu. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. So we are recording and connecting with everybody on this beautiful season two, and this season we're talking about how we all can remember who we are, remember our soul. So it's a soul remembrance journey. And today this episode is the wisdom of the fire. So we're gonna dedicate this episode to wisdom of the fire and Mayan Cosmovision. So I'm gonna invite you to close your eyes. Make sure if you're doing a little tuning in meditation, you are not driving. So you can close your eyes gently, relax your shoulders, and just start breathing. Start tuning to your breath, feeling the breath, the power of the breath in your essence. And try to keep attention to your inhalation and exhalation. Preparing yourself fully to arrive to this space and allow yourself to receive the energy we will be sharing with you today. A couple more deep breaths. Bringing them to the center of your chest, to your heart. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes or you can keep relaxing and just listening. Welcome back. I always do the little prayer meditation and then it's difficult to come back for myself. So welcome Nana Lu today. So we're tuning in from different parts of the world. I'm in Spain, in Mallorca, and Nana Lu is in Mexico City, I believe. Yeah. So we're connecting on the gorgeous day of Akabach, and we're honoring this energy today, and we will dive deeper into it. So I'm so honored to have my sister here and to share her medicine. Thank you, thank you. And I would like to introduce her so we all can connect to her, and before she will start sharing her beautiful medicine. So Nanalu is an Akik. Akik is a Mayan elder, Mayan wisdom keeper. She was born in Mexico, and her spiritual lineage is in Guatemala with Tata Constantino Zapeta. Her master degree is in education and also has some studies in transpersonal psychology, like Superhuman by Ken Wilber, Swamit Goswami, and recently she's taking a certification in neurodynamic breath work. That's so exciting. And since 2008, has been developing her spiritual path with Mayan elders in Mexico City. She has collaborated with SEN, body psychology and dance therapy, and with YOH, deep and transpersonal therapies. Nanalu is a spiritual guide who has been doing different ceremonies, both individual and in group, since 2020. She's doing many ceremonies around LA, San Diego, Sedona, Mount Shasta, like Mayan baptism, Mayan birthdays, womb healings, and 13-year-old ceremonies, and many others. She really likes working with women because when you heal a woman, you heal a family. And I love it. I love the way you said it because, we women are so powerful, and we carry collective wisdom in our wombs and collective traumas as well. So we have a power, and also we take the power to heal so we can help other women, we can help the families, we can help collectively the planet to rise the vibration. So it's an honor to have you here. I just wanted to give a quick brief what our conversation is going to be about so people can start looking forward and be excited as much as I am. So today we're going to be talking about what is Mayan Wisdom Keeper. What is this path? What is the power of Mayan cosmovision of the energies? We're gonna talk about womb healing a little bit. Nanalu gonna share her deep experiences and why it's so important to find the connection with the fire, with the elements, why it's so important to have a ceremony. And it's not only about us personally. It's about co us as collective. And I'm sure we're gonna let just this energy to flow and bring us what you guys need to hear and what we need to share. So we're opening our hearts for sharing and for you to receive. So welcome, and I would like, I know I spoke, I introduced who you are, but I wanted really to feel your energy and you just speak a little bit about yourself. Would you, a little bit about maybe your story, how this all happened, and where you are at now? Yeah, so we would love to hear that, sister.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Vika, so much. I just so honored to be with you. And I have like I told you before this recording that I feel a lot of powerful connection between your energy and my energy. I don't understand why it happened, but it happened. It's so magical. Right now I'm living near to in Mexico City, and I used to travel since 2020, as I told you, to United States. It's something that I didn't expect it, as same as to be an Akik. I didn't expect it to be this, and I'm pretty sure that it happens to you also, because we was living our regular life. You know, I have my career. I have bachelor degree, master degree. So I wasn't in my profession. And then suddenly in 2008, something like a call just arrived in my life. For some people are is a call. For some people are what it's in transpersonal psychology name as emergencies, spiritual emergencies. So it happens for some people and for some reason, and that I don't understand exactly why and how. What I understand is that it's something that is before you're born. According to the Mayans culture, is your Nahual is given this this work, and so the life is going to find in some way or other way the path. So the Mayan culture or any spiritual culture is open to everyone, but not everyone can walk through this path. It's very funny because it's open for all, but not all are there. Not all are walking, and it's a huge invitation for the cosmos. It's a huge invitation for everyone. Right now, I believe that this invitation from the cosmos is more open to more people than before. Than I will say before than to the 2008, it was more open. That's what I believe.
Yeah, it's I really want to agree with you in a way. We think, okay, so this is happening to me and we receive a guidance. We don't know why everyone receives the guidance in a different way, but not everybody is walking that path because maybe we are not, they are not ready, or maybe this is not life. This is not happening at this lifetime, but like you said, for you it happened 2008, and I see it as the spirit comes strongly. We're gonna tap on to the Nawalis about to introduce to people who are not familiar with Mayan Cosmovision, and then it's like the gateway opens. And when you truly align yourself with your path, and then it's just like those gateways start opening, opening, and you're just walking into it without questioning. I mean, the mind sometimes can come in and ask, oh, what you're doing? And you're just like, I'm just doing what my spirit is guiding me to do. And it's really beautiful because I feel this is such a beautiful example to understand, in a way, how easy it is to do, but also other challenges we start meeting in this world when we start walking the spiritual path. And I actually wanted to just give you guys a brief how we met with Nanalu, because it's just such an incredible story, and I believe it's going to inspire many of us and you. And I just tell it to everybody because when I came back from Sedona, I was like, oh my God, the most magical things had happened at the birthing cave. So yeah, we met actually in Sedona. I think it was July or June, no, June, in June. Yeah. So I just was in Sedona with my family, my mom and my daughter, and having all the experience there and connecting with the lands and the vortexes, and every day just was amazing. And I think it was one of our last days, or just day before last, we I woke up in the morning, and we're going to the birthing cave in Sedona, and it's not really on the maps. Like, they have those touristic maps, and then they have, okay, this is the vortex, but like there is no way to find it, so you kind of have to Google or just trust your intuition. And we just, okay, we're going. So we arrived, we found our way to the cave, and it just was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And we arrived to the birthing cave, we climbed up. It's a little bit of a climb. And there was beautiful woman in the birthing cave. And we just like, you know, when you see your sister or your soul friend after not seeing them for a while, and just like, oh, okay, you guys are here. And like, hi. And it just was like, and we didn't know each other, none of us. And we started speaking and introducing each other. And you guys just were, you just completed the womb healing retreat you facilitated in Sedona with your sisters. And we started talking, and somehow, I don't know, we started talking about Mayan. Oh, my daughter, you guys were singing. And my daughter was like, oh my God, this is the song we sing in your mom's ceremonies. And then it was all the ceremony things started. And then we started singing. And then we all just were crying, and we felt such a deep, deep connection. And I got a chance to listen of your beautiful voice and your channeling of the songs. And yeah, and we just couldn't. It was like the birthing cave is a portal. It's a big, big portal. It's just so, so powerful. But the way we all got connected there, it seems like we started shining the light around us. Just was like this, each of us, and I get shivers now talking about it. And then I started taking, oh, another thing that I always wanted to do, a ceremony with my mom and my daughter in Sedona. And our time there kind of was coming to the end, and the ceremony didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen, and I just fully surrendered and I forgot about this. Okay, this is not happening this time, but that's fine. But that morning, I woke up, I put my upil on, ceremonial belt, my faja, I packed the candles, the puro, the tobacco, copal, the offerings, with no intention to do anything. It's like the mind was out, and I packed all the things, and then we arrived to the cave. And actually, my daughter was, oh, I don't want to go today, I'm just gonna stay in hotel. And my spirit told her, you must go because it's something special there for you. But I don't really remember. She only said it to us after we gathered in the cave. And the most beautiful thing was the Nana Lu said, oh my God, I am a fire keeper. And my heart was like, oh, we met. It's like we finally met. We found each other in Sedona at the birthing cave. And we smoked puro, we smoked tobacco, we made little fire. I think, I hope no Sedona security is not listening to this podcast, but we didn't create any damage. We just had little fire, and we all prayed, and Nana Lu gave us the most beautiful fire ceremony, and it just was the deepest prayer reconnecting us. It was not only us who actually was physical in that cave,
I believe that all the ancestral lineage from each of the women who was there, because it was only women at that time, then we were having the ceremony and nobody else arrived. And it's a public place. It's a public place. It's like people coming and going all the time. So I think the portal was open and there was like a gate or like a, I don't know, the protection for us to perform and to pray what we needed to do to help that healing to happen, that connection to root, to speak to the fire, to give the prayers. And it just was the most powerful moment I experienced. And I'm forever grateful. And this is, I really wanted to share that because the magic happens and it happened in a way, most of the time, it happens when we never expect that, when we surrender and we open up, when we trust our heart, when we stop trusting the mind, we stop trusting what we know. We surrender to the unknown, and then we allow those energies to weave. So yeah, so this is how we met, this is how we connected. And a few weeks ago, I think, or maybe last week, no, I think it's after Washiki Bats, the Mayan New Year, I had this vibration in my heart that we have to share this message with Nana Lu. And the season two was about to come, and now it's taking direction without me doing much, but bringing, Mayan elders, sharing this beautiful, beautiful, I don't know how even to name it. For me, it's like a science, but in different way, not the science what we learn at school or universities, but it's a science based on the nature of the cosmos, of the earth, of the elements. And then for me, this is a real science. Then we actually learn how to tune in and how to live our purpose, how to walk our path with honoring the full of love. And yeah, so I just wanted to share that.
Yes, it's so beautiful. And for me it was the same thing. It was a very magical work. And I didn't expect anything in the Verdant Cave in Sedona, but of course that there is something huge moving us, because we lost, as you said, it's not easy to find the Verdant Cave. We lost, and we arrived just in the right time to that Verdant Cave. I was scared to smoke a tobacco, and one of my dreams is just to make a fire in every single mountain and cave from all around the world and pray for the cosmos and the energies. So that's one of my huge dreams. And of course I wanted to turn on a fire, but I knew and I know that is prohibited in that sacred place. Even though we know how to we are a fire keeper, and we know how to manage the fire. And when you arrive, I saw you with your Guatemala clothes. And I say, oh, she knows something. I knew that you know something. And I start to trying to find the way to know you more. And then when we start to talking, and you say that you was in the lake by Guatemala, and I ask you, do you know that Isaías, and you say yes, and I know this Tata and this Nana and this these ceremonies, and I say, oh well, I'm an Akija also, and you were so brave that you just have the candle and turn on a really small fire, yes, like teeny like this, but we feed miracles with that because we was like feeding the fire with the kapal, but little by little, in the way that we don't want a huge fire, but at the same time we desire that, and we wanted to pray, and we wanted to connect with the spirit of the burning cave. And I understand that the magical energy is there all the time for all of us, conscious or unconsciously way.
Yeah, it's 100%. It's like you said, conscious or unconscious, the magic walks within us. Sometimes magic just hangs above our head and waits and can drop in front of us, and we can actually start trusting it more and more. But I feel when we're gonna speak about it more, but when you start connecting with the Mayan energies, you're walking a key path, and you start seeing that magic in every moment. The life is just pure magic, and somehow we come to this world and we suddenly forget, and we just want to remember, what is not good. The mind is just like, oh, that's just not good. You have to do.
I lost a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I actually wanted to ask a few questions, and you said that you started feeling the change 2008, that something has changed and you had to do something about it. But when actually the moment happened, then you started walking a key path, because as I know, it's 9 months initiation process. And when you actually, okay, I'm doing this, this is the path I need to walk. I need to bring the fire to people. I need to do what my energy is telling me and guiding me.
As I say, sometimes it's conscious or unconscious, all this. And sometimes it's against us also. And I in 2008 I had an accident, and I couldn't walk, and this was in August 2008, and I went to the doctors, and doctors tried to heal me, and I could walk, but it still hurt, and I was doing a lot of exercise. I was training eight hours every almost not every day, but at least three or four times per week, and I was really intense training because I wanted to be a dancer and I wanted to move professionally, and I was able to walk, but not able to dance. And I was like, no, I want to come back to dance. I really love it. And I was looking for many physical massages and rehabilitations. And the people say, I did everything. I cannot do more. You are going to stay like this. And I was, no, it's impossible. I want my whole body again. And then so some friend just told me that she knows a native woman who heals with plants. And so I went with her, and she said, oh, I'm an Amazon, and I know about Nahuales. And she was healing me. And I said, yeah, do your work. And I looked at Nahuales.
Don't talk me about Nawalis.
Or she was saying things, but I didn't put in attention, really, really, really attention. So I was like just focused on my body. So that was in August. And then by November, again, another doctor, because that first call, it didn't wake me up really. Sometimes you have your blessings in front of you, and you have the message in front of you, and sometimes you are not available to see it. And so I wasn't available to see it, so that the cousin will say, okay, you didn't see it, I'm gonna call you again. So here we are. And then another is medical stuff happened to me again, and I went to with this native people from Mexico, from Huicholes, and then I met also this dancer who was a monk, Sen, Buddhist Sen from Japan, and he started teaching me about spiritual in the cosmos. He say between this finger and this one, there is a huge universe of mi microorganisms there. And I was like, I don't want to move for a week. Like, this is very respectful to move in the cosmos. And so everything was happening around the November 2008. So I decided to go with this Mayan elder and teller. And you know what? You know why I have this situation in the doctor? Can you heal me? And she said, yes, I can, but you need to do fire ceremonies. And I say, yeah, whatever you say, I will do it. If you say that you are going to help me, I will be there. If you say stand up in one finger, I will do it. And I went to the fire ceremony, and since the beginning, she said, you have a call and you need to be in a key. And I say, what is that means? I don't know. It sounds that is very a lot of responsibility, and I don't want it. And I didn't really want it to be in a key. And so I just offering the Mayan fire ceremony, I feed my Nahual every 20 days with this Ajij, this Mayan elder. And then I realized that I needed more ceremonies and more, and I was almost doing ceremonies every week, almost like that. Like, and everything start to be more calm in my life, more relaxed, more fluid. And then in the 2010, I went to Guatemala, and I went to another Akih that it was from there, from this area of Guatemala. And the first ceremony that I did there, this Akih say, oh, what you did something wrong. And I was like, oh my God, what I did, oh, I remember this and this and that and that and all this also and this. And I was like thinking all my mistakes that I did in my life, like making a huge mess. And then suddenly he say, oh, no, it's not that. Oh, I see, you need to be an Aki. And I say, what? No, please, I just came here to feed my Nahual, to be fine with my Nahual. And then can you talk with Tatatino? That is the most important Tata in our lineage, and he is very known for all the Mayan culture, and he's a very important Akik. So I went with him and asked him, it is possible to not be an Akik, to do a special ceremony just to say thank you to the cosmos, but I don't want to be something. No, I don't know anything about this. And he say, oh, no, it's fine. It's like a balloon. This is a call for you, and you need to take it sooner or later. So it's going to be a balloon. It's going to go bigger and bigger until then just explode, and you will receive. And I say, what? I really didn't want it. It was some very a huge responsibility for me. So then, I guess it was the next year, or the late of the 2010, I saw a video in YouTube, and it was another Ajij, and he was saying, oh, that there was talking about that 2012, then, the new beginning, and the 3 days of darkness. And I saw this video, and he was saying, we lost a count on our calendar. We don't know if this 3 days of darkness is going to happen in the 2012 or later, or in the 2020, or in the 2060, or in the 2080. But what we know is that every Ahki in those three darkness days are going to turn on the fire and going to hold people around this fire, and we are going to communicate between fire and fire. So, because it's, everything is going to be dark, and we need these fires to turn on. And then there I say, yes, I want to be that Ahkif. I want to be that person who keeps the fire and who have people around, and just to have this little hope. I'm saying, and I mean, I want to cry. I'm sorry. And it's so, it was like I connected finally with my with a vocation or a call that I had. And I just came back with the elders, and I just knocked the door and say, yes, I want to be an Aki.
Oh my God, it just makes me want to cry. Well, I'm crying actually. That's such a beautiful story. It's I feel yeah, I think we probably need to give a little brief to people. What is it? Because we speak about it, but I'm sure a lot of listeners they might not know Mayan Cosmovision and what is all about the fire. And the fire is the ear of the god, and the fire is basically everything in Mayan Cosmovision. And to walk the path of Ahich, it's Ahich means fire keeper, is a Mayan wisdom keeper. Like in many traditions, they call shamans, yeah, like any, but in Mayan, they don't call shamans. You are Ahich, and this is a fire keeper. It's a Mayan wisdom keeper. And personally, yeah.
Aquí became from the word ah, means authority, means ah means the sugar cane, and it grew up to the sun, so it's a line also, and it's something that grew up aligned to the sun, because the sun is very important in every culture, not only the Mayan. And so Ah means this authority, but in Kih means sun. So it's this authority that became from the sun. So is the people who are in Akih has this some kind of authority with
Leadership,
leadership, because they know how to follow the light. And they bring light to a community.
yeah. So it's from it's from Quiché language, or because the Mayan language is like 22 languages, but they very similar. And yeah, and then we come when we start connecting with Mayan Cosmovision. And I just wanted you maybe to give a quick brief why, you know, we're not gonna go deep what it is Mayan Cosmovision and, you know, like scheduling the count and how to count the Nawalis and what is a date, but for just a regular person who want to understand why we praising the fire, why we so understanding the Nawalis and understanding that it's so important for each of us to have this connection. Of course, like you said, not everybody's gonna experience that during this lifetime, and that's totally fine. Even if we want to force somebody, or somebody wants to force themselves into something what is not meant to happen, those doors might not be open yet. They're just not gonna open. So I feel, first of all, we need to be ready, or the, you know, the energies, they prepare you, and then now is the time. Like you said, you know, the path you took as a Chich path is such a big responsibility. And of course, you were scared at the beginning, you know, even just why you, because, you know, we all live this physical life, you know, we've been trained, all the patterns, everything, finish university, do the work, get married, blah, 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 you know, and just be in that bubble. And that's totally fine if that's enough, if you honor, if you're happy, you know, nothing is wrong with that. But some of us, like you mentioned before, we hear that calling, something happens, like the universe moves. And then, you know, the health, maybe something with the health, maybe we might have other challenges, or maybe just like, boom, this is now, the door is open. This is the path you have to take, you want it or not. As much as you didn't want it at the very beginning, you just wanted to carry on dancing because this is, was your expression. And then, you know, connecting to the fire more and more, I feel like the fire just like goes into your essence, and then you just can't do it. Can't do other way. You just have to do what you have to do. So my question was, I'm just like, the question was for you. So what is Mayan Cosmovision? Just in few sentences, if it's possible, because I probably would maybe say like astrology, you know, we have, you know, Chinese astrology and our Gregorian calendar we follow, and people know their signs usually, you know, the rising sign, or you know, we know who we are, and it's kind of similar with Mayan Cosmovision, but much deeper in a little bit different way, but also in a similar way, because it's all the stars aligned in a cosmos.
Yes, it's kind of hard to put in a few sentences what
No,
is.
I just, yeah, it's too, it's, I mean, you know, I ask that question, and I ask that question myself another day. And no, somebody actually asked, because people watch, you know, on social media, or they see, and they're just like, so what is you do? Why it's like, it's just a stone, you know, what is the Nawalis? So just maybe to introduce the cosmic energies, and that each of us carry us, carry it within us. And this is the manifestation, I guess.
Yes, it's very huge knowledge, and of course it's a science, and in so many levels. I will say that Mayan ceremony, for example, like Huayshaquitx baths, you can see art because there are dances around the fire. You can see spirituality because you are connected with the cosmos energies. You can see political, you can see resistance. Because it's a knowledge that even though the conquistors came to America, even though that they keep their knowledge also, and it's a medicine because you can heal with the fire. The fire is a medicine, and I could tell you that that I went to the Wukupsi sick. I had an asthma attack, and I couldn't sleep the night before the Washakie baths. And I was in the Washakie baths doing the ceremony, and at the middle of the ceremony, just I felt in my lungs like a sound like just pop, like, and then I start to breathing. So I know that it's very magical, that the fire in so many levels, in so many ways, not only and it's a medical system also. They know a lot of knowledge about they know about the zero concept, and so they have a lot of they have a lot of calendars. They have the lunar calendar, the moon calendar, that is 260 days. That is the Shulkich, and is related to the human being. And there is the other calendar that is 360 days, that is related to the I don't know, say how, agriculture to
Agriculture, yeah, agriculture
agriculture,
to the
the
all
seed.
the yeah, agriculture, planting, growing,
Yes.
and then the cycle, and then how we follow that cycle along with the calendar, but the us as being on the planet as well.
Yes. So they have that calendar, and they have the long count that is 5,200 years. So they have so many calendars that are related in a microcosmically way to the human being until to the huge universe. So their knowledge is so complex, and I, of course, I don't know nothing. Of course, I just know a little bit about the fire, and I just know about the Nahuales, but it's a huge knowledge, a huge one. As an Akik, you need to develop your own and personal gift. Because each person have a very particular gift, so it's not the same thing. For example, if you were an Ahkih, and I am also an Ahkih, and we have a person who came with us with a specifically problem, so there is one Ahkih that it will help more this person. So, for example, if this person had a problem with lawyer systems, with just justice, and all this thing situation, you will be more a helper to this person than me, because your energy helps more to the justice than my energy. So is so each Ahki have their own gift, and of course, if you are the only Ahkih around your community, you are the cosmos is going to give this help to this person. For example, my energy is not good to heal people because there are another Nahuales, like for example the Nahual Tihash, that the Nahual Tihash can heal people just be in front of someone. Just that energy can help it to heal. My energy is not like that. However, if I'm the only Ahki around, my the Nahuales are going to talk through me or
Support,
support me, and probably I will not heal immediately, but she will find the medicine, the right medicine to heal herself or himself. So is the kind of the how it works in this language. So
Yeah, it's
It's
like
so many.
yeah, it's like Nawali is, it's not like yeah, like you said, it's difficult to explain, but like when one Nawali and we carrying that path, we have the qualities, what we're really good at, you know, to do, but then we need help, you know, a person needs help and he comes to us or she comes to us. All those energies, the Nawalis are the energies, 20 different energies, they step in a line and they bring that energy through. Well, of course, you are a key, but if you know, if we are on the healer's path, you feel okay, you know, you need tihash, you need that instant healing, and the energy will start coming. And what this is, a power of being connected, especially to the fire and to the elements, Mother Earth, the air, the wind, the, you know, all those powerful spirits. Then we can call for that help, and they come, and they bring, you know, they move the energy what needs to be moved, or they give you what you need to receive in that moment. And I think a lot of the time when we speak about the healers, we think like more about physical body, isn't it? Like the healer, I need to heal physical body, but there are so many different, you know, aspects. You know, we have our emotional, we have our mental, we have our spiritual. So all the Nawalis, they have to come into those layers and help to heal those layers.
Yes, and of course you need to prepare as an Akik, not only to read the fire, to know how to make the prey. You need to learn about plants. You need to learn about interpretation of for example, the dreams, because the dreams are very important in a Mayan culture. Is the way that we connect with the cosmos, with the message of the cosmos. And we need to read to know how to read the nature. We need there is so many knowledge that you need to learn. So you never end. Never,
It
never.
never ends. Yeah,
It's like a
yeah.
university, it's a master degree, a bachelor degree, so many
And it
degrees,
just goes.
right? Like goes all on. And you need when you are in a process of helping someone, sometimes it's very delicate, and sometimes you cannot help at all, and you need to understand that even though you are an Akik, and even though you are putting your heart in that, sometimes it doesn't depend on you also, because it is related to this to this to the path that this person, this spirit, because we are spirits living a human experience, and we need to understand that
Yeah.
this spirit has their own story in the whole cosmos, and it's not our responsibility also to heal completely this person. It could happen
Yeah.
immediately, and it happens to me sometimes, like I've just did one fire ceremony, and then everything magically just opened to this person. But sometimes it's not, and it's fine also. And it's fine to do these fire ceremonies to help this energy of this human being, because it's cleaning. Is that in some way in our energy, there has information about what we did in past lives or lineage, and it's cleaning. And even though you didn't resolve the problem, in some way you know that you help this being. And for
Hello.
example, there is a that one of the hardest things to heal is alcoholism.
Alcoholism. Yep. When
Alcoholism.
people have addiction to alcohol. Yep.
Yeah, is one of the hardest way to heal. And I had a client and it was impossible for me to help him. I helped him in some level, and then I was I needed to step back and say, no, you need to go to other places, and you need to be very, very honest also as an Ahkik, and say, I cannot help you for now. Probably another Ahkik can help you because he's more strong or have another gift that I don't have, or whatever. So anyway, it is very, very hard because we don't know that the exactly point that it start this illness. So we don't know exactly when it begins, because it could begins from another
Lineage,
lineage, from your grand probably your grandfather was an
alcoholic, yep.
alcoholic. Probably your grandfather was an alcoholic, and you just are showing up because of your grandfather, or probably you is because your grandfather was walking on the streets and he saw a person who was drunk, and he just expressed himself very badly about this person, and his nawal of this person listened to him, and this nawal just follow this energy and show up in the next generation. So it's something very delicate. We don't know how delicate it is to walk around this path, to be in this world. So we need to respect a lot the life. We need to respect a lot the other human beings, because if we express something bad from other one person, the infinite listen to you. So this energy that is around the cosmos listen to you, and it would follow, and probably you will not see in this life, but probably you will see in the next life or with your next generations. So that's why we in this time of creation of the human being on this planet, we are like inviting to clean our all our energy, all the energy, not only for ourselves, from our lineage. And the fire is one of the most powerful elements of the nature that can help us to clean that, because we cannot contaminate the fire. We as a human being, we contaminate the earth, we contaminate the air, the water, but the fire is not contaminated. So that's why it's so powerful, it's so important to heal with a fire. It's very universal. And even though you are not ready for connect to the Mayan culture, if you see a fire, you will connect in some way or other. It's something primitive in your soul that is related.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And when you
Yeah.
started saying we as human beings contaminated the earth, and this is the only what is left, what people, humans can't do anything, the fire is going to be always here, and humans are not strong enough. And it's so powerful, and I hear a lot of nanas sharing that knowledge, and it's always when you sit in the ceremony, it just goes through you deeply and reminds you what big responsibility each of us have. As you said, the words we choose to say, it's like, we put that spell for our future generations without taking responsibility, because if we look at this ego mind, if we are separated from the spirit, we just think about now, what I have now, what I want to have tomorrow, what I want to do. This about the material, isn't it? But the world doesn't work like that. Yes, of course, we need material things, to live fulfilling life because we came on this earth, but we keep taking from the earth. She's giving us everything, the clothes, everything we speak, look at each other through the laptop. It came through the earth, it came through the earth, but we're just like, oh, what I want more, what I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. Which is like, for me, it's the most powerful thing what we can do, just give the offerings back to the earth through the fire or do through the water, anything. Then we remember that this is when we plant that prayer into our subconscious mind, like the same as the spell, when we put the spell into the Nawal's essence, and then it manifests into the physical, and we don't know what generation it's gonna happen. So it's the same, the offering, the true connection, the prayer, we can plant this and heal future generations. Because it's not, it's not only one person who can change everything. It comes through many, many different directions. And what we carry in us, it's not like, oh, I've been born, I got this trauma, and this is, but no, you had the lineage, you had your ancestors. Each of them went through big challenges in life, and we living them now. And this is, like you said, it's our responsibility to create that change now, to make that change, and it's on us. We need to stop blaming, anybody else, because it's only what we share, what efforts we put into, how we connect with our hearts, how we connect, how we build the community. What community you serving? Who is around you? Who you helping? How you serving? To this planet, to the earth, to the fire. How, what, I don't know. It's just for me, every time, I went to just, I spoke last week with my teacher. I was initiated in Mayan abdominal massage path, and I spoke to my teacher, and she is working with the Mayan midwives, and she's a midwife. She's living in Guatemala. She's working with Mayan midwives for 13 years and working with the plants. And she said, I started my Ahkich path on my birthday, and it was last week. No, it was just day before Washiki Bats. The minute, it just was such a blessing. And she said all the nanas were, so when you gonna do this? And then she said, well, this is a time. And I felt such a deep connection. So after our call, I don't know, I just got into the some sort of trance or something. Then I knew I had to smoke puro for her path, and I just took tobacco and I smoked it, and I instantly started giving the copal, because I live on the catamaran now, so we live on the sea, and I kept giving the copal to the water with this deep prayer. And my partner was, what are you doing? Just keep some. Why are you just giving every? I said, I don't know. It's for her path, for this. It's just such a deep honor. And the way the puro burned, it just was never, I never had this before, but it's really powerful. When we give the offerings, we're not doing it only for ourselves.
And we are connected, even though the distance, and that's why it's very powerful, the dreams, because is the way we meet there. Because we are this body, but this body is only the shoes of our real huge body, old or now color energy. So this other body doesn't know about frontiers, doesn't know about countries, continents, and nothing. And I'm pretty sure that this connection that you have with your teacher, it was from other levels.
It just like we started talking about Mayan Cosmovision, and like you said, we only start scratching the surface, and then understanding that it's just like a vast ocean of the knowledge of this deep, deep connection to the essence, to everything, to cosmic energies, to the earth. And I know we're talking for quite a while now, but I really wanted to touch just quickly on the last thing, because I know you work a lot of on a womb healing, and if there are anything you would like to share, because this is a Mayan midwives is like female shamans, if you could call them that way, and it's the womb healing, or we do it as women, but it's so important. So I wanted just you to share why it's so important to do womb healing and how it is so connected to Mayan midwifery process, but yeah, more about the importance and how we can, I don't know, each of us could pay attention to certain things.
Oh well, this is a huge
Just a little,
into but
just a
just a
little
little bit.
drip in.
Okay, first of all, I will say that the womb is a central power of a woman. It's a create it's a it's where we create life. If you can create a human being, could you imagine what else could you create? So women are so powerful, and patriarchal systems know that. They care about the female energy because they could not able to understand that. And even though us, because we were so repressed for so many years that we don't know how to really connect to our real power. And to do a womb healing or to do a womb meditation or to just think about your womb is something very powerful and very huge, very, very huge. And I will say about Mexico, because I know that you are in another place, you came from another culture, but here in the Mexican culture, especially for the woman, they teach us since we are kids that our goal is to be a mom, is to make babies. But you don't have to make babies the whole time. I mean, it is very important to become a mother, but you don't have to become mother every single year. Like in Mexico, there are so many women ha that are pregnant in a pregnancy time every single year. And they have 17 kids or 10 kids or 5 kids or whatever. I met a person in that she had 5 kids, and she was pregnant, and she had a very beautiful power on her womb, on herself. And I told her, you don't have to make babies. Your power is huge. Make abundance to your family. Make a healthy life in your family. Don't make babies only. And the guy, he was a lot in love with her. He loves a lot her, but he was tired because he said, I cannot work for another baby. It's too much for me to be the financial support here in this family because this person was, all the time be pregnant, and she could not able to work, and so sometimes we don't understand our power, and sometimes we just took the wrong direction because all these teachings that the society give us to us, especially in the Latin American culture. I don't know about Europe too much, but I'm pretty sure that there is some points in common
Sure.
between both of us. And so for me, healing a womb is not only healing your womb, your system, your body. I'm healing your lineage. There is 7 generations. There is an information of 7 generations in your womb, and you can feel all these rapes, all this suppressed system in your womb. And when I heal a womb, a lot of energy moves around, and I just get exhausted. Like a lot of bad energy just came around because we are cleaning this all this information from many years, not only your story. We are cleaning all the women's in your lineage, and all of us, I'm pretty sure that all of us had in your life, in your personal life, or in your generation, we have these rapes, for example, this sexual abuse, probably or mother or grandmother or an aunt or some female. I'm pretty sure that each woman in this world has this problem, and it's a huge problem, and nobody talks about a lot of this, of the sexual abuse that is on our families, because it's something very delicate, and it's something that is normal, especially inside of the families. That is some aunt, some, or your father, or some cousin, or some neighborhood who abuse in a sexually terms, and we need to clean all the those things. We need to empower every single woman in this earth, and teach all our girls to protect our energy, to not let these abuse systems going and so on and so on, because there is so many levels to read this. Not only that you receive sexual abuse, it's also masculine energy abusing for the female energy. So it's like all that female energy is not, flourished, is not open to the world, to all this magical power. And Mother Earth is that the representation of the female energy. So that if you see, we suppress of Mother Earth, and we want to control Mother Earth, and we want to steal the power of Mother Earth to make money, to make computers, to make and cars. So there is so many levels to read this. So when you heal a womb, you are not only healing a woman, you are healing a lineage, you are healing the Mother Earth, you are healing the everything.
Everything. It's thank you so much for sharing. This is really, really powerful. And at the same time, for us women, I think most of the time we just blocked our wombs because it's so much pain in there. We just not even allowing it to, to access, to feel that pain. And then I was going through my womb healing. It was the most powerful healing, I experienced in my life, and I changed on the cellular level. But the pain, the physical pain, what I experienced, it was I even don't know the word how to compare it to, but it opened me through womb healing. I connected with my Navali. I actually started feeling my Navali inside me and guiding me, and all the
Because
other beautiful.
your womb is another heart, and if you are really in a meditation, in a deeply meditation, you can feel both a beatings inside of you. And actually it moves your womb, moves your body, and it's so powerful, so huge.
Yeah, it is huge. So we just praying for more and more women to start, coming closer and closer, and okay, I'm gonna start, doing this for myself and for others, because like you said, we heal 7 generations before us, and what's gonna come, and it's just so much bigger, and the way we connect and the guidance we receive, so we can basically change our life, whatever it's gonna take. Like you said, with the fire ceremony, sometimes it's one ceremony, sometimes it's multiple ceremonies, or sometimes it takes, additional healing with another key. So it's the womb healing. I think it's, also so deep. Thank you so much for sharing everything. I'm so honored that you dedicated this time and your energy for us to listen, to connect, and I hope many, many souls will listen of this episode and then contact you. I'm gonna put your details from social media, and you're still living in Mexico, but I know you travel to Guatemala, and next year planning to come to Europe. And people who want to connect with you, they will connect, and hopefully you will meet, and you will do whatever you guys have to do. Is anything you would like to share or to invite people? This episode will be coming out probably at the end or middle of September. So if you have any events planned, or I don't know, anything you want to say to us.
Well, I wish I could go to Europe the next year. It's one of my goals, and I'm gonna do a womb healing there. Probably I'm going to make a workshop for people who wants to do a womb healing, because right now it's very important to have these woman circles around all the world. And I'm of course I'm gonna do a fire ceremony, cacao ceremony, breath working sessions. So around I don't know exactly where I'm going to be, but I'm putting my intention there. So the other I'm probably gonna be in California very soon, in San Diego at least. There is a girl who wants to me to help her in a healing process with people. And I guess probably another places, but I don't want to say a lot. So just go to the Instagram, and you can see in Nana underdash Lu underdash Maya, and I and you can find something there.
That's beautiful. I'm sure people will find you and will connect. Thank you so much. And again, for sharing your heart, for sharing your energy, and for all the work you're doing to this planet Earth. Super Matios.
Matios, Dios, Dios, Dios. 3 times, Dios.